Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Hello, my name is Edward Fillion. I'm a white American born and raised in South Africa, a country where racism was once institutionalized in an unjust system called apartheid. I have seen what systemic racism does to a people and a nation. It rips us apart. That is why I join my voice to the chorus being heard around the world, Black Lives Matter. And not only do they matter, they are sacred. Centers for Spiritual Living has a vision of a world that works for everyone. The purpose of a vision is to inspire us to move beyond the way things are. And right now, we have the opportunity to embrace an important and compelling conversation about moving beyond the way things are to end racism in our world. So I stand with all spiritual and secular groups that are working toward diversity, equity, justice, and inclusion. And again, I affirm, Black lives matter. And not only do they matter, they are sacred.
I wanna live in such a holy
Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa virtual service. If this is your first time with us, welcome. You can find out more about our center by visiting our newly designed and easy to navigate website at www.cslsr.org. Today is Father's Day, and people in many countries around the world celebrate Father's Day, albeit on different days of the year. In the United States of America, we celebrate it today. At one time, fathers received less public attention and appreciation than mothers did. Mother's Day, after all, has been recognized on a continuing basis since 1941, and Father's Day has been an official holiday for only about the last 20-something years. Thanks to the efforts of Sonora Dodd, who wanted to honor her own father, the first official Father's Day was held in June in 1910. And then finally in 1972, Congress passed and the President signed into law a bill making Father's Day a national holiday. So today we have a special tribute to fathers in our community, and that is thanks to the efforts of Betty Smith, Christopher Fritchie, and Jeff Basham, who put together a terrific slideshow of fathers in our own community, and it's beautiful. So stay tuned through the end of today's service and enjoy a wonderful experience of Father's Day with us. Also today is our virtual social hall. Now there's information about that on our webpage. It's open to everyone. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to be together, to talk about what's on our hearts and to be in small groups and to reconnect. And I'll be there to facilitate it. So please check out our website and come to the virtual social hall. It's this afternoon, shortly after service. At our center, we are motivated by a vision of a healthy, loving world. We call it the Global Vision. And every week, we read a portion of the vision together to help keep us on track with moving toward that vision. Please read this month's portion of the vision with me. We see a world in which every person lives in alignment with spiritual principles, emphasizing unity with spirit and connection with each other. And now it is time for us to turn within. Our spiritual mind treatment, which is another word for affirmative prayer, is given to us by Dr. Kim Kaiser, and he will also guide us in reading today's affirmation. Welcome. I know that somewhere between the music and the meditation and the prayer and the message is exactly what your heart is seeking for the next step of your life's journey.
All there is God. turning our attention within. We become aware of that which is knowing, hearing, feeling this word. There is a place in each of us where that is occurring right now. That is the movement of the mind of God itself. For that is at the very center of our being. It is all that we are. It is what we are here to be. It is here to let us know what it is doing as us. So we are here to know and understand and feel its presence. It gives all of itself to each of us. And to each of us uniquely, we speak what we are given. We know what we are given. So I speak this word in that awareness. And I accept that the Divine One has chosen to be each one here so that it may know the fullness of its being, so that it may know the love and the peace and the joy that are at the very heart of existence, of the existence of each one here. So I accept for each one the release of any ideas or thoughts of something that has to be done without God, without that one itself. Everything is done through its energy, expressed through us, given to us in every situation and every circumstance. So I accept we are here to know, experience, and realize that in this time together. I give thanks for this awareness, and I simply release this word and allow it to be done by that one who does everything. And so it is. Hello, I'm Kim Kaiser, one of your staff ministers here at the center, and I'd like to read with you today's affirmation from our Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision Book of Affirmations. The infinite is my source. There is no limit or end to the source of my supply. I live and have my being within this infinite source. And so it is.
From the darkest place to a higher space, calling from every direction. On every single path I have stood strong and cowered fast. What a strange perception. Well, life is demanding, but I am understanding. The best I could was where I stood. Where? one I never expected, rising up from misunderstood. Well,
today's message is brought to us by, well, me, but a vintage me. See, I'm going to play for you a message from our archives because it says exactly what I wanted to say to you today. So please enjoy.
Good morning, beautiful people of the Center for Spiritual Living. That's nice. Our theme this whole year is living the science of mind, and each month we take a new focus. Our focus this month is where humanity and divinity meet. Then every week we select a topic from this beautiful book, Living the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. Like this week's topic comes from page 164, and it is God Talks to the Heart. So here are the three points I hope to cover in today's message. Without your love, there's no hope. Not for the world, not for you, not for me. Oh, and by the way, the second point is love may be the only thing that you actually know how to do. So there's that. And then third, if you find you've got to a place where you've forgotten that skill, you've forgotten how to love, it's all right. It's the sort of thing that you can relearn. And we have some specific exercises, for example, by practicing seeing holiness in everybody you meet. We'll get to that in a moment. The first time I encountered our teaching, the name of our teaching is The Science of Mind. I remember the first time I encountered it, I thought to myself, this is all going to be in the head. It's all up here about thinking and intellect. Science of mind. You know. So it's kind of refreshing to turn to page 164 and read this. We must realize that the creative factor in the universe is feeling. Not thinking. Feeling. You know, this is not a heartless teaching. It's not about thinking it all through without feeling, without the warmth of our conviction and belief. No, feelings are very important in this teaching, and rightly so, because we humans are feeling creatures, communal. We respond to feeling more than anything else. I remember I attended a seminar once all about how to be a better minister. And I walked into the seminar and the presenter had written up on a chart on the wall these wonderful words. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And you know, I don't remember anything else from the seminar. I had gone there to learn how to be smart and to think better, and because I valued intelligence and quick thinking. But I realized in that one poster, I might have been forgetting one of the key ingredients to connecting. Similarly, it is the same with our thoughts. You know, the thoughts that we care about are the ones that are creative. And the way we care about our thoughts is important. And what I mean by that is the feelings that go with our thought are important. Are they loving? Are they warm? Are they excited? Or are they something else? Are they disconnected? Disinterested? Random? There's a difference. A difference. A world of difference. In this book, Living the Science of Mind, our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote in an earlier chapter, we know that we could not live without love. For life is absolutely meaningless unless its whole motivation is built on love. Now, there's an idea for a world that works for everyone. Build everything on the motivation of love. So thinking of that phrase, I came up with two statements that I think are helpful to remember. We cannot live without love. Or if I personalize it, I cannot live without love. You know, years ago, I read a story about an experiment in a lab that went terribly wrong. Now, I can't remember the source of where I read it, or even if it's, you know, it might be a legend for all I know. I just know that it made such an impact on me that I repeat it every year. That tells me something. It was a pivotal moment for me, just like that writing on the wall. It meant something for me to pay attention to. Here's the story. It's the story of a lab experiment that goes wrong. The experiment was on a group of rabbits that were supposed to be getting sicker and dying from the experiment, but they weren't. They were getting happier and more lively and energetic than the control group. And the experimenters scratched their head, wondering what possibly could have gone wrong. So after lots of scrutiny, they decided to examine the security camera. And it turns out, late at night, the janitor was coming in and taking each bunny out of the cage and loving it up and whispering sweet nothings into its ear. Totally messing up the experiment. Turns out he was apparently giving a healthy boost to the immune system of the bunnies, bolstering them up against whatever had been put into them. And do you know that in June, in our free Wednesday night classes, 1 hour classes at 7 p.m., open to anyone, we're going to be studying that. We're going to study how our own loving thoughts can give us a healthy boost in our own lives. Now, this wonderful story of the bunnies meant so much to me because it reminds me of how important it is to feel like we belong, to feel like we are accepted, to feel loved, and to have the warmth of an affection of touch and community. But that's not all it is. There's more to it, I realize. In the example of the janitor, my role model, in the example, there is the reminder to me that as important as it is to receive love, it is equally important to give it and to express it. And now I'm thinking of giving, expressing love as being life-saving, as it was for the bunnies. So I take the statements, we cannot live without love and I cannot live without love, and change it a little bit to make it even more intense for me. The world cannot live without my loving it. I cannot live without being loving, after all. And this is the second point of the message. After all, that's my job. It may be my only job. Love may be the only thing that I truly know how to do. I think that's accurate because everything else takes a lot of effort and causes a tremendous amount of stress, like envy, jealousy, competitiveness, hatred, prejudice, self-centeredness, vanity, bossiness, nastiness. You have to really work at that stuff. You got to be committed to it. You have to stay with it. It takes energy. It takes commitment. It takes mindfulness. You got to. But love takes no energy at all. Maybe it's because, like it says in so many of the scriptures of the world, maybe it's because God is love. Now, we don't make love. We're not responsible for creating it. No. We just align with what is already so, and then we let it out. We set it free. We let it flow. Oh, that's good. Imagine that's your assignment this week. Your assignment is to let it free, to let it flow, just that. You know, maybe look for opportunities to let the universe do whatever the universe does, but through you. Imagine that love itself is the urge of the universe, and it wants out through you. And all you have to do is play along. Think of yourself as the instrument, and you don't even know what music's going to come out. You just have to play along. You know, when divine love comes through humans into expression in this world, it's very beautiful. And there are so many forms of it. Like affection, the affection of the janitor to the bunnies in the lab. Or kindness, like the stranger responding to the request of the person in the parking lot asking for money. Or caring, like the child struggling to help the parent who's aging. Or like compassion, like the volunteer who goes the extra mile to help the organization that's touching the lives of people he or she will never meet. Oh, when the love of the divine comes through humans into expression in this world, it is very beautiful. And the nice thing about it is it doesn't even have to be perfect. Just genuine. That's the feeling of love. Genuine. It reminded me that I had written about it in my book, Ordinary Goodness. The idea of ordinary goodness came to me while teaching a class in which the students were learning the techniques of spiritual coaching. They questioned their ability to respond adequately to clients who were facing sorrow and tragedy. So I asked them to settle down and think about a difficult time in their lives when someone did something for them that showed love. Some of them, teary-eyed, told stories about ordinary acts of kindness, while others told of gestures of compassion that went way beyond the call of duty. The students either had a story of how loving kindness from another person had touched them, or they identified with the story told by another student. Then I asked them if the giver of that love had any special skills. What was it that made the gift of love so meaningful? They answered that each giver had acted sincerely from some natural instinct to care. I called that instinct ordinary goodness, and I pointed out that they too had the same innate capacity to care, and that their goodness required no special training. In fact, it may be clumsy or unskilled, and yet, when expressed, especially through kindness, it leads to compassion, and that is something mighty to bring into the world. Imagine that. Imagine that your loving is good enough. Not because you're skilled. Not because of what you can think up. But because it is genuine, non-controlling, real goodness. And you didn't create it. You released it. You let it go. You set it free. The thing is, society may have forgotten this natural talent for being loving. And the reason for that, well, we'll hear from Dr. Thomas Plant. He is the adjunct clinical professor of psychology at Stanford. This psychiatrist says that the reason why society may have forgotten its natural talent for being loving is that we may have so many models of how not to behave. He says, we live in a culture where people are often treated with disdain and disrespect, like on cable TV or on radio talk shows, you know, where yelling and insulting each other and the guests is done for effect and for ratings and for sport. And then reality television shows, you know, they let us peek into a world where people demean each other without remorse. So I have to be careful that I don't let that become normal. I've got to be careful that I don't let children turn reality show stars into role models. And this psychiatrist, Dr. Plant, asks a great question. He says, don't you ever wonder that if this is how people behave toward each other while on national TV, how might they behave when the camera is actually turned off? We hear constant media coverage of our public figures and sports, entertainment, and political people who we often look up to behaving in remarkably poor ways. And the psychiatrist offers a remedy. He has a solution for this situation. You don't know what it is? Spiritual practice. Yeah. He suggests, the psychiatrist suggests that we practice seeing the divine in everyone we meet. That's his remedy. And if divinity is too strong a word for you, he suggests that we focus on the idea that everybody that we engage with is either the friend, the son, the sister, the brother, the mother, the cousin of somebody you love. And he suggests that thou will change your world. He admits that it's easier to talk about than it is to do. But with mindfulness and with practice, he suggests that we would likely find ourselves living in a different kind of world. I love that. And after reading his article, I found myself saying to myself, when things got rough or didn't work out the way I wanted to, or I was worried about the world, I find myself saying, no matter what, I've still got love. No matter what, I still can love, and I can trust that love to do something in the world that I myself cannot accomplish. Now, if you're doubting whether you can be loving, or maybe you've forgotten that you know how, the good news is that you can relearn it, just like you learn to read and write. Now, unlike love, we haven't always known how to read and write. We had to start from nothing, from scratch, and learn to read and write. And in the beginning, it could take a lot of time, a lot of focus, a lot of repetition, a lot of effort. And if you know how to type, maybe you remember the drills over and over and over again. And you know, you can't learn how to type by reading about it. Oh, well, you can get some clues. But you can't learn how to type by thinking about it now and then. Oh no, you got to put yourself in it. You got to set aside time for it. You got to have a couple of goals. You got to be motivated for it. And the good news is that with being loving, you are relearning something that your heart already knows how to do. So it goes faster. It goes quicker. It's easier. But you do have to put yourself in it. You have to make time for it. Maybe even have a couple of goals to motivate you. I can see myself saying something to myself like, you know, today I'm going to compliment two people in my family or in my group for their contribution. Or maybe I'll say to myself, you know, today, and I'm going to try to stay with this the whole day, I'm going to listen to people without interrupting them to really discover my interest and value in them. Or maybe I could say to myself, you know, this whole week I'm going to communicate with respect as if whoever I'm talking with has the divine in them. See if I can stay with that. But you know, to do this, have you noticed you've got to slow down? Have you noticed that to be loving and attentive, you've got to slow down? It's very difficult to be loving if you're in a hurry. It's very difficult to be loving if you're distracted. It's hard to be loving when your mind is racing. It's not right or wrong. It just shows the importance of slowing down. You know, the mind will speed up for things like anger and envy, comparison, complaining. I mean, try that. Try to notice how fast your mind can move when you're not being loving. And then compare that to how smoothly your mind moves when you are being genuinely loving. There's a difference. I know that if I can stay alert enough to pay attention to the speed of my mind, I see it. When I'm angry, it's racing. When I'm jealous, it's fast. When I'm selfish, speedy. And not only my mind, not only my thoughts are racing, my heart goes faster. My breathing gets more shallow and quicker. Things speed up. I was introduced to this image of the mind being like a car, and it's very helpful because when a car is speeding, you can't turn safely and change direction safely or stop safely. When a car is speeding, it's impossible to look at the countryside. Oh, you got to stay on the destination, focused. When a car is speeding and a cow steps out, oh, there's going to be trouble. I've been that car. You're speeding through life, not seeing others around me, not even aware if I drove over a few of them, you know, rushing from one important thing to another important thing, not noticing any injury. No, I wouldn't call that loving. Efficient, but not loving. It's the same with thoughts, you know, thoughts that are going too fast, especially if they're going so fast that they're tailgating and there's not enough space between one thought or the other for any maneuvering to take place safely. You know, that's when just about anything will come out of a person's mouth. Just about anything. So I know when I'm racing, I got to slow down. I got to bring my mind back to the speed of love, where God speaks to the heart. The Catholic mystic St. Francis de Sales gave some beautiful encouragement in this regard. If the heart wanders or is distracted, bring it back to the point quietly and replace it tenderly in its master's presence. And even if you did nothing during a whole hour, but bring your heart back and place it again in our Lord's presence, though it went away every time you did, your hour would have been very well employed. So beautiful. So let's check in with those three points again. Without your loving, without your love, there is no hope for us. It's all on you. And by the way, it may be the only thing you actually know how to do. But keep in mind, it's not your love. No. It's the urge of the divine to be set free and express itself in life. And if you find yourself in a place where you doubt you know how to love, or you've forgotten how to exactly, start where you are by practicing treating people as if divinity lives in them. And to do that, you're going to have to slow down so you can enjoy the ride. I invite you to breathe in and to exhale, letting your eyes close. There is a witness within me who knows the truth and who will not let me enter into falsehood. This inner guide is my love. It is the presence of the living spirit loving through me and keeps me on the path of life, directs me at all times to that which is right and best. I shall never be without this witness of the spirit within me. I believe in it, and I accept it as the constant companion of my soul. It is the infinite presence, and I love it. And together we say, and so it is. Once again, a breath in and an exhalation. And now it is time for our offering. I want to say a special thank you to those people who are taking the time to send in notes of appreciation and thanks along with their checks. They send them to our physical address and we pick them up, and we're going to keep all of those messages. If you tune into our Zoom webinar early before the service starts, you'll see that we scroll those messages so that you can enjoy them also. And thank you to those people who have converted their giving practice to online giving. Thank you for taking the time to make sure that your center remains funded and viable so that we can continue to operate during these shelter-in-place times. And now, please enjoy this music.
So I came to the fork in the river, and I didn't know which way that I should turn. Had no map, no compass, and no driver. Precious little information to show. It can be hard in this life to make decisions. It's an altogether common thing to fail. As I surveyed my current situation, I decided to just go ahead and sail. There is no one way, there is no foolproof plan, no fateful final chance. I just wake up each day, do the best I can, and when I hear the music, I get confused quite often. Seems sometimes I hardly ever get it right. But I think life's about just facing fear and trying. So I just point my little boat towards the light. There is no one way, there is no foolproof plan, no faithful final chance. I just wake up each day and do the best I can, and when I hear the music dance. So whatever you're facing, just remember this, that control you've been craving cannot be. Just take a long deep breath and surrender, it will be alright, you'll see. There is no one way, there is no foolproof plan, no fateful final chance. I just wake up each day, do the best I can, when I hear the music dance. There is no one way, there is no foolproof plan, no fateful final chance. I just wake up each day, do the best you can, and when you hear the music dance.
Sonoma Box mission is to bring together and nurture a community of music lovers in our beloved Sonoma region to share in the magnificent experience of early music. We know that this music from the distant past, sacred and worldly, vocal and instrumental, solemn and joyful, can speak powerfully to today's audiences, and we reach out not only to those already familiar with its pleasures and beauties and traditions, but also to those for whom the music is brand new. Our resident ensembles, including three vocal ensembles and our period instrument orchestra, prepare and perform an annual series of 8 concert sets featuring the finest repertoire presented in imaginative programs designed to bring to life the magic of the music and to connect compellingly with our audiences. Most of our concerts take place in the Green Music Center's 240-seat Schroeder Hall with its live acoustics, intimate audience experience, and wonderful Brombau pipe organ. In addition, we offer site-specific concerts designed for special places in Sonoma County, such as our annual concerts in the domed and fresco Church of St. Seraphim. Sonoma Bach offers a variety of opportunities for learning and exploration for singers, instrumentalists, and listeners alike. Our classes, workshops, and lectures focus upon 4 broad areas: individual skills, such as vocal technique and sight reading, ensemble skills, the knowledge of repertoire, and the big picture. What does it all mean, and how can I connect? We believe passionately in the power of music to bring people together, to help us work through life's challenges, and to serve as a catalyst for positive change. When people make music with and for each other, with skill, with style, with love, we believe that our world becomes better. Sonoma Bach is proud to have been serving our community for 30 years through this essential activity of music making, and we look forward eagerly to continuing our efforts for many years to come.
Now it's time for our community announcements. The topic for tonight's Sunday evening conversation with practitioner intern Krista Maggotty is Listening and Hearing, My Path. That sounds like a good one. All are welcome. Today is our virtual social hall from 1 to 1:30 p.m. You can find the link on our website and click it to join us on Zoom. It's an opportunity for connection and discussion to share what's in your heart. I'll be there to facilitate it, and I look forward to seeing you there. The Education Ministry wants you to know that our final class for summer semester is Beyond Limits. It's with Reverend Scioto Bell on July 9th. So keep that date in mind, because you must register in advance.
you can't show up on the night of the class and register there.
Hi, I'm Jan Peterson, and I just finished up the 1 year advanced spiritual living class. And how I got here was just to start taking classes, both the core classes and the spiritual enrichment classes, because I was hungry for this teaching, and life just seems to go better when I take a class. Because of those classes, I've made some significant changes in my life and learned some spiritual tools that really helped me. I learned to see beyond my then current limits to change my workplace. And now I work in a place where I feel really appreciated for who I am and love the work I'm doing. I learned to meditate first from Dr. Edward. I was kind of complaining how hard it was, and he said, well, just start with 4 minutes or just two, just do it regularly. And I did. And then I took some more meditation classes, and in one, Ruth Barnhart said to me, maybe you can expand that a little bit. And I did. And now I have a regular, helpful meditation practice. I learned sweeter self-talk, which I think is an important spiritual practice here at the center. I learned how to do a spiritual mind treatment and depended on one when I went back to help my sister in her last days. I was anchored in that prayer of spiritual connection, love, and peace. Advanced Spiritual Living is a class of digging deep and opening up to spirit, and I have found it amazing. I encourage you to take a class or join us at the Things Everybody Asks, where you can have all your questions answered about Advanced Spiritual Living class. Hope to see you there. Okay, bye-bye.
Lunchtime Learning continues this month with a book study exploring the book The Eye of the Storm, Embracing Conflict, Creating Peace. The book's by Gary Simmons. Lunchtime Learning happens each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. and it's facilitated by Lawrence Edwards, Lily Escovedo, and Krista McAtee. Women of Spirit will meet again this Saturday, June 27th, at 10 a.m. on Zoom. It's facilitated by ministerial interns Donna Starr and Linda Lundry. This is a time to join women and explore the unique contributions of women to this world as expressions of the divine feminine through music, reading, meditation, and small group discussions. Tomorrow, Monday, June 22nd, at 1:30 p.m., you're invited to the group called The Third Act, which gives seniors in our community an opportunity to share their ideas, joys, concerns. This group is facilitated by Reverend Joyce Kinzel. And coming up on the first Sunday of July is Full Circle Conversations about Death and Dying. Their topic is engaging in life while holding it lightly. All these ways of staying connected and more are listed on our website at www.cslsr.org. Thank you for being a part of our spiritual community.
Hi, I'm Andra Sandberg, one of your licensed prayer practitioners, inviting you to check out our virtual Gritton Chapel for prayer after service. We have licensed prayer practitioners lined up and waiting for you, and it's an easy process to find us. The link is on the website, cslsr.org, and also after our service, you will be prompted to where the link exists. So all you need to do is follow the link, and when you enter Gritton Chapel, you will be met by Jeff Basham, one of our creative prayer practitioners. And you will be in our waiting room for a few seconds and then connected with a prayer practitioner in a setting much like this one. So you'll have a private room with a practitioner. No masks are required. And your session will be in a place that is safe and comfortable and confidential. And during this time with your practitioner, you'll be able to talk about what's on your heart and receive a prayer for how to look at life, perhaps in different ways, and how to draw in the resources that are needed. So I hope you'll take up this invitation to join us in Grinton Chapel. It's a new experience for me as a practitioner in this virtual environment, but one that I'm finding that I'm enjoying more and more as clients tell me they feel very comfortable and supportive. There's no dress code or hair code requirement, and it's a very lovely way to have an intimate conversation and connection with a prayer practitioner for guidance in a time that we're experiencing separation. So thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in virtual Grinton Chapel. Blessed be.
I release and I let go. I let the Spirit run my life, and my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. Oh, no more struggle, no more strife. With my faith, I see the light. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God. I let the Spirit run my life, and my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. Oh, no more struggle, no more strife. With my faith, I see the light. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm